The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, super, amen. That is good stuff. That's a Perales family, and we appreciate them. They work in the youth department, do a good job, and so thank you so very, very much. Now I've got to ask, are you a preacher? You dress like a preacher. Oh, he's looking around, and so he, are you a preacher? Yeah, don't look around, brother. Come on. And so that is great. Are you a pastor?
I am.
Good. Tell us where you're from. Amen. God bless you. Give that family a hand. That is good. God bless you. Yeah, I stepped out there, and so he goes looking around. I'm thinking, okay, I'm in trouble now, you know, and so, all right. Look back in your Bible, please, and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start verse 29. Here's what the Bible says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but the Bible says that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It would be very good that if you thought much before you spoke once, and allow that which is what you say be grace, be that which will minister, in other words, meet the need unto the hearer. Verse 30, the Bible says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, verse 31, be put away from you with all malice. Then our text verse, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now take your Bible, please, and look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Here's what the Bible says, Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 12. It says, put on therefore, it says, as the elect of God. Oh, preacher, who's the elect of God? You are, saved people. All right, the Bible says, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. It says, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Now watch it very carefully. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So it sounds like that God looks at forgiveness as being something that's very important to the individual Christian. Now, may I say, as individual Christians, we ought to see how important it is, since it is so important to God. We ought to look at it, not just look at it as we pass by, but examine it. How is it that you and I could give forgiveness and it build a relationship? You know, I've seen this. I've seen people that do not forgive to the point that unforgiveness turns into bitterness. And when bitterness rises, can I tell you, it leaves no survivors. It leaves no survivors. And so tonight, as we continue to talk about preserving the Christian home, let's look at the inside of it and see how is it that you and I could be used of God individually to preserve the Christian home. I invite you, if you have a paper with you, to be able to take some notes. I'm going to make some statements, and they are these. Every marriage needs to practice forgiveness. Now, by the way, let me kind of expand that a little bit. Every family needs to practice forgiveness. But if mom and daddy does not be able to set the right example by you forgiving each other, it makes it very difficult for a child to understand the gravity and the blessing and the benefit of forgiveness. So statement number one, every marriage needs to practice forgiveness. Statement number two, forgiveness should be a way of life. It ought not be something that's a struggle. It ought to be something that you master, that you master. Now, by the way, you have to practice it over and over to master it, just like you ride a bike, just like you throw a frisbee, just like you hit a ball, just like you shoot a hoop. Can I tell you, you have to practice it over and over and over again. If you're going to master it, you have to practice it over and over again. So forgiveness should be a way of life. Statement number next, forgiveness should be a natural part of the Christian's life. Now, by the way, here's what we do on Wednesday night. Sunday morning, a preaching time. Sunday night, preaching time. But on Wednesday night, we slow it down just a wee bit, and we give you some in-depth teaching. And you say, why do you slow it down? I want to make sure you get it. Amen. All right? And so understand this. It is very, very important. Forgiveness should be a natural part of the Christian life. Should be natural. Should be natural. It was Spurgeon that said this. He said, dig your wells deep while you're young, so that when you become old, you can draw from them. All right? Now, I think you ought to do that with forgiveness. I think you ought to do that with your prayer life. I think you ought to do that, stay with me now, with your relationship life. Whether it's a relationship life with your spouse, your children, or your children to mom and daddy, you ought to dig it deep. I read this as I read often before, and I read it a few moments ago as our text verse. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, the Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, stay with that, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You say, I can't forgive them. Could you not forgive them for Christ's sake? Could you not allow God that forgave you? Stay with it now. Could you not allow God that forgave you through his son to use you to forgive others through you? We are supposed to be Christian, are we not? That means little Christ, does it not? All right, so could you not allow the forgiveness? Oh, you say, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. There's just no way. I just can't do it. I can't forgive that person. Okay, I find I understand who you are in your flesh. But can you not be yielded to God so much that God can reach down and use you as a vessel to forgive others through you? By the way, if you allow God to forgive others through you, eventually some of that just might rub off. You might catch a little bit after a while, by and by. All right? And so, what does it mean? Well, to be kind simply means this. It means what is fitting to the need. So, you can find kindness in anything you do that is fitting for the need. That's what the kindness is talking about. To be compassionate, what does that mean? Well, that means this. That means that word that we read just a moment ago, it's talking about tenderheartedness. Well, what's that mean? Well, that means compassion. You have compassion towards somebody. You're not out to hurt somebody. You're not out to get revenge. You're not out to slap somebody. You're not out to get even with somebody. You're not out to prove yourself to somebody else. You're not out to make your mark. You're not out to step on them. You're not out to crush them. You're not out to destroy their names. You're not out there to try to cause them harm, okay? And so tenderhearted, talking about being compassionate, all right? Then it talks about to be forgiving. Now, what does it mean to forgive? That means living freely and graciously, if you would please, in favor with God. You have a favor with God because you're gracious towards people, because you're that individual, if you would please, that sort of like the old ever-ready batter, you take a licking, you take a licking, you take a licking, and you keep on ticking. All right? And so what does this mean? Well, it means this. It says for Christ's sake. So you forgive them, if you would please. You forgive them for the sake of Christ. You forgive them. Again, let God forgive through you. Statement number next. Okay, how think about this. How forgiveness works in a crisis. Now, you're going to have crises. You're going to have crises. But here's what happens. Here's how forgiveness works in a crisis. Think about this. Forgiveness takes the place of an emotional episode. Forgiveness. You will never have an emotional episode with somebody that's offended you if you have truly forgiven them the Bible way. You will not have an emotional episode with them. Forgiveness realizes this, that feelings have nothing to do with it. You cannot live by your feelings. You live by the facts of the principles of the Word of God and forget your feelings. Your feelings will mislead you, friend. Your feelings will cause you to make decisions that you never even should have considered, much less make. All right? And so forgiveness realizes this, that feelings have nothing to do with it. Forgiveness does not allow self-pity to return. You ever see somebody, woe is me? Hello? Come on, nod your head or something. All right? Can I say this? That forgiveness does not allow self-pity. It doesn't allow self-pity. Oh, woe is me. Well, I tell you what, I went through it. If only people knew. Well, most people don't want to know. Matter of fact, most people could care less if they ever knew. All right? Statement number next. Forgiveness is a good pattern to establish. Amen. Just establish it. Okay. All right. You have a tendency to be one of these people that wear your feelings on your sleeve. Shirt sleeve is a man, blouse sleeve is a woman. All right, and you have this tendency to, it just kind of is there, you know. All right, can I tell you something? If that is the way it is, go change your clothes. But can I also tell you this, that you need to get over that. Now, you cannot get over it by yourself, because can I tell you, the Bible says that the arm of the flesh shall fail you. So if you're relying on your flesh, dear friend, to be able to work up enough forgiveness, to be able to forgive someone, you're going to fail every time. Because the arm of the flesh does fail you. You cannot forgive somebody in the arm of the flesh. You can't do it. Your flesh does not have 1 ounce of forgiveness in it. Your flesh has revenge in it. Your flesh has getting even in it. Your flesh has vengeance in it. Your flesh want to take somebody and rub their nose in the dirt and make sure they sniff twice while it's down there. That's your flesh. Your flesh wants to take somebody's head and flush it in the toilet. Your flesh wants to take a watermelon truck and run over them. That's your flesh. Now, can I tell you, you cannot trust your flesh. Your flesh is rotten to the core. Your flesh will cause you to self-destruct and will take other people with you. I'm saying this. I'm saying that how do you forgive in a crisis? Forgiveness takes the place of an emotional episode. Forgiveness realizes that feelings have nothing to do with it. Forgiveness does not allow self-pity to return. And forgiveness is a good pattern to establish. Statement number next. There are 4 steps to forgiveness. 4 steps to forgiveness. I do not have these in your notes. If you care to write them down, you're more than welcome to do so. There's 4 steps to forgiveness. Number one, choose with your free will to forgive. You have to choose it. You have to choose it. By the way, I'm going to help you out a little bit. You have to choose it in advance of the offense. You cannot wait till the offense comes in order to know that you're going to forgive. You can't. You have to choose it ahead of time. Ahead of time. All right? Statement number one, I said this. Choose with your free will to forgive. Statement number next. Make a promise to lift, think about this, lift up the burden of guilt from off the person that did you wrong. Make a promise to lift up the burden of guilt, of the person that did you wrong. Make a promise you're going to lift it up. In other words, you're not going to let it weigh on you to weigh them down. Hello? Hello? Statement number next, okay? Seal it with your behavior by demonstrating suitable love and a tender heart. Seal it. Seal it. Seal it with your behavior by demonstrating that which is a suitable love and with a tender heart. Look. Can I tell you something? You ought never to, now you're going to hurt some people by accident, but you ought never to purposely try to hurt someone.
Amen.
That is not Christian. You ought never to set out to say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to get them, and I'm going to get them good. And when I get them, and I get them good, it's because they deserved it. You're wrong. By the way, if you got what you deserved, you'd be in hell. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that it is important that you and I understand that we ought to give mercy. We ought to give grace. All right? Statement number last there, and that is trust God to allow you to forget. Trust God to allow you to forget and to renew your mind with a new attitude. Trust God to allow you to forget. You say, I can't forget it. In your flesh cometh no good thing. You're not going to forget it in your flesh. And as long as you're walking in your flesh, can I tell you something, friend? As long as you're walking in your flesh, you will have trouble with forgiveness. That's when you got to get like Paul and you crucify the flesh. You mortify the flesh. What's that mean, preacher? You put it to death. Stop digging it up all over again. Well, I forgave them, but there should be no but. Well, I buried it. Yeah, but you dug it up. You should have threw away your shovel. Statement number next. Okay, here we go. Statement number next. Well, let me say this. Statement number one, I said this. Every marriage needs to practice forgiveness. Statement number two, forgiveness should be a way of life. By the way, you say, preacher, why are you teaching on this tonight? Do you know family members that are lacking in their forgiveness? No, but I know new dorm students that moved in, and somebody's going to cross you. I know a new school year that has started, and somebody's going to cross you. I know pressure is on because now we're getting out of the summer slump and we're getting into the educational run. Somebody's going to make you mad. You better dig your wells deep. Amen. Statement number next, I said, statement number three, I said forgiveness should be a natural part of the Christian's life. Statement number four, I said, talked about how forgiveness works in a crisis. Then statement number five, I talked about the four steps of forgiveness. Let me give you this one here, and that is this. When you won't forgive, let me show you what's going to happen. When you won't forgive, when you hold your resentments, here's what's going to happen. They're going to return in bitterness. When you hold your resentments, they're going to return, if you would please, they're going to return to you. You're going to get a dividend. What's it going to be? It's going to be bitterness. As a result of your life, you're going to live a poison life all the days of your life, and you're going to poison every single person around you. Say, prove it. I will. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, wait a minute. Stop right there. It didn't say the grace of God fails. It says any man fail of the grace of God. God's grace never fails. But man fails to appropriate God's grace. The Bible says, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root, now a root's just a small thing, is that right? But any root that grows, it will produce fruit. Where there is a strong root, there's lots of fruit. Now stay with it. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. One root springing up trouble you. Don't stop there. Look at it. And whereby many be defiled. So you've got one root, much fruit. Where the root is strong of bitterness inside, there's going to be much fruit that would get damaged above the soil of your heart. Okay? And so, by refusing to release the burden of the other person's wrong against you, you are choosing to carry the burden yourself. Here's what's going to happen. It's going to cripple you for the rest of the days of your life. So when you refuse to forgive somebody, you carry the burden. By the way, that person that has offended you, they're sleeping good at night. They're drinking Starbucks coffee. Yeah, they're going to McDonald's, eating breakfast. They're going to a steakhouse, and they're loving that steak, and they're not even getting ulcers. But here's what you're doing. You're turning all night long. I mean, it's bugging the fire out of you. All right, because inside, you've never forgiven them. And they're happy as can be. They're going about serving Jesus, singing songs. Hello, having a good time, going to Six Flags, riding rides, not getting sick, going to this Texas State Fair, eating those big old turkey, turkey legs. I knew it was turkey something. And they're just having a good time. But inside, you're eat up. Now, can I tell you, when you're eat up with bitterness, you won't sleep well at night. When you're eat up with bitterness, you have a tendency to get sick a lot. When you're eat up with bitterness, it just bothers you that you lose your joy. I mean, you're just having major problems, all right? And it'll send you to the doctor, all right? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 13 through 15, the Bible says, it says, and make straight paths, it says, for your feet, lest, it says, that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. All right, so God wants us to be healed. Now, why? Well, here's why. He says, follow, it's hard to follow anything when you have a lame foot. It's hard. It's difficult to walk. When you got something that has offended you, you have a hard time walking down any path. You have a hard time making any headway. You have a hard time arriving at any destination. Why? Because you have a lame foot. And in this case, the lame foot is called bitterness. All right? The Bible says, follow peace. It says, with all men. Oh, by the way, I said this Sunday night when I preached. And by the way, if you're not a part of the series, you need to get here this coming Sunday night. I started a brand new series on Sunday night. Very seldom do I ever preach series on Sunday night. I started one this past Sunday night, and it's talking about a Christian living, and so you need to come and be a part of that. But now wait, here's the thing. You can't follow anything. You can't have peace with all men if you have and are in disarray in your heart about one man, one woman. That's your lame foot. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness. It says, without, it says, which no man, it says, shall, watch it carefully, see who? The Lord. Wait a minute. You mean, preacher, if I got trouble with bitterness, I can't see God? I can't see God come through in prayer? You mean, preacher, if I got trouble in bitterness, I can't be right with God? Yeah, that's what it's saying. That's exactly what it's saying. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and it says, whereby many be defiled. So it troubles you. Here's the problem. Watch the terminology. It troubles you. When you have bitterness, it troubles you. You can't sleep at night, but when you talk about it to your kids, you're defiling them. They never thought about it before. Never crossed their path. You're ruining your own kids. You're ruining your own wife because your mouth. You're ruining your own husband because your mouth. You know, people don't think ill of people until it's brought before them. Well, I tell you what, did you hear what I heard about so-and-so? Sure did, through your big mouth. You know, the world would be a better place if people, and I don't get mad at me when I say this, but the world would be a better place if you just shut up. Oh, you say, preacher, you shouldn't have did that. I'm offended. You were offended when I got up. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, here's what the Bible's talking about here. The Bible's talking about that bitterness springing up. Listen to what it says. It troubles you. In other words, it bothers you. You can't sleep at night. You can't eat well. Or you eat too much. But it doesn't just bother those that you share it with. It defiles them. You say, preacher, how does it defile them? Well, they never thought about it before. They had a clear conscience towards that person before you showed up. Man, it's time to pray and go home. If you're not willing to forgive, notice the statement, if you're not willing to forgive, there is no way, no way you can expect to walk in personal fellowship with God. There's no way. Long as you're in this stupor of not forgiving, don't come to me and say, well, I'll tell you, let me tell you, preacher, what I got out of the Bible. You can get nothing. You've got to learn to forgive. If you're not right with fellow man, there's no way you can be right with God. Now, you like us saying that about your children. You like us preaching that. If you kids aren't right with your parents, you can't be right with God. You like that, don't you? Sure you do, because you say amen when I say it. But now let me shoot you down just a little bit in love. If you're not right with each other, if you're not right with your kids, if you're not right with your fellow church member, you can't be right with God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, for if any forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Oh, preacher, that's heavy. Yeah, sometimes it's difficult to be a Christian. But it's still right to live Christian principles. Statement number last, and almost last. Statement number next to last. When it seems impossible to forgive, what do you do? When it seems impossible to forgive, okay? Now, God's never asked you as his children to do anything that he does not provide both the instructions and the strength to accomplish it. God has never asked you to do anything that he has not already provided the instructions and the strength to do it. If so, he would be an unjust God, and he is not. I submit to you, he is not. Amen. An unjust God. You do not have to think about this. You do not have to be controlled by your feelings. You don't have to be the helpless prisoner of your past. You don't have to be. I was preaching youth camp, and this girl was hurt by her daddy. She'd been bitter for months and years. And she came up and she said, tonight I got victory. And for the first time I can say, with tears coming down her face, did she say this, I love my daddy. Yeah. You cannot have a right relationship unless you have forgiveness. John chapter 8, verse 32 and 36. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible says that the Son therefore shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. Think about this. Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, has special deliverance and healing for those that have been hurt because he was bruised for our sins. Can I tell you, he knows exactly what you're going through. You know, watch. Oh, come on now. We run to people for help that don't have 1 ounce of power, energy, knowledge, wisdom, or depth to be able to help us. Yet we fail to run to the one and the only one that can help and heal. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, last verse I'll read. And the Spirit, talking about Holy Spirit, of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Billy Sunday, oftentimes, of course, he'd use the same type of verse, if you would, in Isaiah, as you would know. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance unto the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them, watch it now, that are bruised. All right? Preaching. He's talking about preaching, if you will. Preaching, if you stay under it long enough, can help you to be healed. If you stay under it long enough. Statement number last, and I'm done. Forgiveness in your love relationship. There needs to be a habit of forgiving. Don't do this. Well, you know, the Lord told Peter how many times to forgive. 7 times 70. 7 times 70. I think that's like 490. 7 times 70. 7 times. who are you to keep count? Now, what are you going to do? I forgave you 231 times. You've got X amount to go. Buddy, you better get it right. You really got time for that? I mean, come on now. You really got time for that? It'd be better just to forgive people before they offend you. By the way, you'll have a happier marriage. You'll have a happier childhood. You'll have a happier parent time of rearing children. All right, settle your accounts quickly. Settle your accounts quickly. Quickly. I'm talking about quickly. You offend your husband, run to him and say, look, I'm so sorry, honey. I shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me. Do it quick. Don't go to bed. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So if you're angry at each other, the best premarital counseling I ever got in my life is when the preacher got ready to marry Sylvia and I. He gave us that one verse, and he says, you ought to live it. He said, don't you ever let the sun go down upon your wrath. He said, you make up before you go to bed with each other at night. Make up. Make up. He said, if you do that, you'll have a happy marriage. Either that or you'd be sleeping on the sofa an awful lot. Last statement. Remember that forgiveness always includes restoration and a new start. If you truly forgive somebody, you restore them. And you always give them a new start. You always give them a new start. You always give them a new start. You're not supposed to knock them down and kick them. You're not supposed to pretend that you're their Lord and judge over them. You're supposed to forgive them and restore them. Oh, but they'll do it again. What if you forgive them by the grace of God? You don't want to remember it. I didn't say that you will forget it. I said you don't want, as a good Christian, you don't want to remember it. You want to work on it over and over and over and over again. This will help you have a better marriage. This will help you have a better relationship as parents and child. This will help you be a better church member. Oh, I can't stand to walk down that hallway when they're walking down that hallway. Can I tell you, friend, it's because you're not right. It's because you're not right. Because if you're right, it's not going to bother you when they walk down the hallway. Matter of fact, it won't bother you if you fall down and they walk on you as they walk down the hallway. Well, I just don't want to park over there because that's where they park. So, it shouldn't matter. If the relationship is right, stay with it, then it's right. But if it's wrong, you better try your hardest to make it right every single time so that you can be right with the Lord and right with others. Father, bless, I do pray. Thank you for tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.